My first marriage broke my soul through her adultery, but it also broke me free from my love of the world and my powerless form of crossless Christianity. My second marriage broke my heart through her apostasy, but it also taught me to love even more like Jesus and to trust God even when everything I thought God promised ended in spiritual death. My third marriage is teaching me that just when I think I've seen God's biggest blessings, His greatest miracles, His best redemption, His most amazing providences, or His highest love, I am absolutely wrong. This is the real-time story of how God granted me the grace to love again, to trust Him one more time for that wife of noble character, and the incredible ways He has walked us into nothing short of a Job 42:10 blessing. Hello, my brothers and sisters in Christ. God bless you guys in Jesus' name. Before I jump you into episode one of The Grace to Love Again, and I'll explain the name change in just a few minutes, I've made a few notes to go over with you on a couple of things to help you to get the most out of this series. So, number one, the name change. Initially, you heard me say in the very first intro video that I was thinking of calling it Third Time is a Charm. And somebody wonderfully took the time to point out and remind me what the name charm meant and that there's an association to magic in that. And honestly, brothers and sisters, it's like in a few of my videos, I've said, oh, I guess it wasn't in the cards for me. And sometimes we say things and don't really know why we're saying it or what the roots were. I've never meant anything of any kind of harm by saying these kind of things. But obviously when you say, you know, it's not in the cards for me, this is a connection back to the occult practice of tarot card reading. I always just kind of thought of playing cards, never really gave too much thought about why I was saying it. So I've tried to stop saying that at the direction of one person who was nice enough to point that out to me. And then number two, the idea of a charm being something that you would wear or that, you know, it has some magic power to it or something. So to keep people from stumbling, I mean, I can't accommodate everybody, right? There's always going to be somebody. There's just no way. You could say God is good and somebody will argue with you and say, oh no, God's not good. Or they'll say, oh no, God is great. So it doesn't matter what you say. Anybody can be offended by it and people can always disagree with it. But there's certain things I can do to try to make it easier. So I thought, you know something, I don't want to have any association with people thinking that this is some kind of magic thing or association to that charm word being magic. I always thought of, oh, he's charming, meaning he's nice, he's happy, warm, you know, somebody that wins you over. And yet charming has probably a link to him like having some magical personality influence over you or something. And so, yeah, for sure. I just decided to kill it and prayerfully came up with the grace to love again, because it is all about his grace. Jesus Christ is the one that helps all of us to live the life as a child of God. And so here it is, the grace to love again. So that's the name change. So two, we're going to go backwards in the story before we go forward. You know, you kind of have to know where you've been and where you're coming from in order to get to where you're going. So I'm going to take you backwards all the way to how God originally told me I was going to be moving to New Zealand over 2 years ago. So a lot of you have said, hey, didn't you have this in your journal entries before? The truth is I've never shared those journal entries. I've just kind of mentioned it here and there. But yes, I have an entire written journal about New Zealand and how God was pointing me and making it so clear that we were supposed to move to New Zealand. And this happens back in March. So the first clip you're going to see in episode one is a reminder of me having built this tiny house, spent 18 months building it, really 6 months designing and about 12 months building it. And then before we've even spent the first night in it, you see that it stays here at the storage unit that it was in the clip. And before we even had a chance to move into it, God's telling me to sell it because now we're having to move to New Zealand. Most of you have already heard this part of the story, but you don't realize how the timing was and how incredible it is that the very day after I put the tiny house up for sale, my now ex-wife, P, basically lets me know she's not going to be going with me. Now, there's something incredible important about this date that you are going to be absolutely shocked by when we get to this part in the series. You got to have to hang in there, if you will, but it happens on March 5th, and you're going to see that. So you're going to hear the first recording about how I've put the tiny house up for sale, and now P is letting me know she's not interested in going with me to New Zealand. And so it kind of reveals the full hand of Antichrist in her heart through this. Now, for those of you who are kind of new to this series, you're going to get lost if you don't go back and start with I Will Come Forth as Gold. You go to relentlessheart.com. I'll put the link down below in the description for you as well. And you can probably see it right here below the video. But relentlessheart.com, click the series tab and look for the series called Apostate Bride of Christ. That series, Jared Tabai, you know, my dearest brother in Christ and his wife, Kristen, who you hear me mention all the time, when I took that down one time to try to accommodate P, and the Lord had showed me, no, I want you to put this back up. Jared told me, brother, I was devastated when you took that series down because to me, that's the most important series that you've ever done. He said it put the fear of God in me like nothing else has. It is a story of moment by moment I captured how Satan was leading my then wife away from her pure and sincere devotion to Christ, how she ignored all of my warnings. And it's become a picture of what's happening around the world in the body of Christ and what's going to happen even more. So just this morning, eating my cereal, I decided to check out the latest Jason A. video, and it's all about all the UFOs and aliens and government officials all over the world, that this is, you know, the quote, cat is out of the bag now. And 2 years ago, 2018, so that's 3 years ago, I made a warning message in my journal entry to a few of my friends, and I said, there is something coming that's going to be an announcement either in science or in space that is going to be so unbelievable that it is going to cause more people to fall away from the faith than Charles Darwin's Origin of the Species did. I made a very long recording about this. I'm going to try to skip the details, man, but for a few weeks now, the Lord has been impressing on my heart that there are some very difficult days that are coming in this world where, and I want you to understand that I never talk about end times. I never have prophesied about end times except for in India. I said, will your faith stand when the world falls apart and that it's going to get much worse? I said, if you think you've seen school shootings now and public shootings and earthquakes and hurricanes, it's going to get much worse. The year after I made that message, America had its absolute worst year for hurricanes and the worst shootings in mass in history in the United States of America. That's the only thing I've ever said about end times, other than the world was not going to end on September 23rd like everybody thought it was. Recently, brother, I told Persis yesterday, I was actually afraid. I got afraid. I felt a fear in my heart because I knew the Lord was telling me something that is difficult. And it shook me up a little bit, brother. And I want to tell you, it seems like it's been about 3 weeks ago. I was in the woods praying and I felt like the Lord showed me that the days are coming when in order for you to be a Christian, to profess that you're a Christian, you're going to have to be seen in the world as an absolute idiot. Okay? What God was helping me see was that there's something going to happen where it's going to appear that Christianity and God have been disproven. And I got the sense that it was going to happen something like in science, there would be some announcement or some discovery. I know this sounds impossible. It sounds crazy. And it sounds like something we don't have to worry about. The impression I'm getting from God is that it's going to be one of the worst that's ever happened. And when God wills it, I'm going to tell this message to other people. If he so desires me to warn people that this is coming. Remember, in John 16, Jesus said, I tell you these things so that you will not go astray. Yesterday, the same exact thing happened. God confirmed and led me to a group of scriptures for the day in my daily memory verses, and they all had to do with making sure your faith endures all the way to the end. Then I got out on the trail and I got this other impression after I read this letter from Apple News from the New York Post saying that people were basically starting to look to aliens as a savior and hoping that they would find. And I don't know what or when, but I can tell you that the impression that I'm getting is that something is going to happen in this world. There's going to be an announcement made that is going to shake and ruin the faith of millions. And I know this again sounds out there, but let me tell you something. It already happened once when Charles Spurgeon was a preacher and the Darwin theory of evolution came out. When he published his book, he said the deepest, blackest darkness came over him as he watched people funnel out of the church one by one, and the church is basically almost emptied overnight because so many people fell away from the faith from this new, quote, information that came out, that this theory of evolution, that we all evolved from pond scum, and that the Bible and Christ was all a fairy tale, okay? Now, we've obviously rebounded from that. But I'm telling you, man, I got this impression that it made me weep. I made a recording about it yesterday, and it made me weep. And it made me feel fear. I'm not afraid of my faith. This made me feel afraid that we're going to need to hold on. Okay, brother, it's going to be something far worse than you can imagine. It's going to challenge your faith far worse than you can possibly believe right now. Right now, you say, oh no, I will never fall. Remember what 1 Corinthians chapter 10 says. If you think you're standing firm, be careful unless you fall. And I want you to tell this to Kristen as well, because I have no idea when this is going to happen. Okay? But this is why you need to continue to walk in this kind of faith, because I feel like I've been warning people for years that unless you have practical faith in God, that you have seen Him act in your life and establish a track record of faithfulness, you are not going to make it in these last days. There's going to be a testing of faith and a falling away and apostasy of the church that is unlike, I think, unprecedented in history. Brother, I get the sense that something even worse is going to happen. Okay? I don't know if it's going to have something to do with aliens, or if it's going to have something to do with a scientific discovery that's going to seemingly disprove the Bible and Christianity. But I'm telling you this as a warning. You're the only person I'm telling, and I don't believe the Holy Spirit's stopping me, but I haven't been given permission. But listen, Persis saw it with her own eyes last night. God gave me this warning. People like Timothy Murray, Jared and Kristen Tabai, many other people, Gary Barton, they can testify that I had this recording. In fact, at one point where it's appropriate, I'll share it. In a moment of terror in the woods, God showed me that there was something coming that would be so absolutely unbelievable that the only people left that could believe in Jesus Christ are complete idiots. That you would have to look like an absolute bumbling idiot to believe in Jesus Christ anymore. That there was going to be some announcement, some scientific discovery. Now, I said this back in 2018. Brothers and sisters, it's here. It's happening. Science is now talking about they're discovering the sixth dimension or the sixth sense of humans and the new dimensions. And you have scientists now who are flirting with all these scientific experiments with the psychedelic drugs. And science can no longer deny that you can take an atheist, put them on a psychedelic drug, and instantly they become a believer in spirituality or God. And there's all kinds of just crazy things happening in the world right now. Hence, for years, I've been warning people, 2016 in India, Will Your Faith Stands as the World Falls Apart, where God is pleading with you through me, and I'm no doubt many others on the internet and in ministry, to begin to take your relationship with Jesus Christ very seriously. Because the days are coming when there's going to be so much weight put on this bar. If you don't have a living, breathing relationship with Jesus Christ, you're not going to make it. I've been saying this since 2014. Brothers and sisters, those days are upon us. The time is running out for us to be able to get right with God and to really have a sense that if little green men land in your backyard and say to you, hey, 10,000 years ago, we put you here. There is no Christ. There is no God. There is no Bible. These are all fairy tales. Do you have a faith that will stand that? This has been a cry of my heart for years, okay? I'm getting a little bit off topic, but oh, I trust the Holy Spirit is ministering this to somebody. But we're in those days. And in 2018, I said this is coming. These kind of things are happening. So, you know, this is something that I want you to understand. That this story shows that in the midst of all the craziness that's going on in the world, God is still acting and doing powerful things and answering prayers. And God is still a God who, if you delight yourself in Him, grants you the desires of your heart. God is still a God who answers prayers. God is still a God who demands obedience. Obviously, you have to voluntarily give it to Him. But God is a God who still requires us to live by faith. The righteous shall live by faith. God still requires that we be an overcomer even to the point of death, and then we will be given a crown of life. But one of the things that the Lord has been helping me to see in this past year with COVID-19 and all the craziness that happened was that He wants me to continue to stay a Mary, to not be a Martha, Martha, worried and upset for you about all the crazy stuff that's going on in the world and all the crazy emails I would get about the virus being the Antichrist or the mark of the beast and this thing and that thing and this conspiracy theory and all this crazy stuff. God said to me, Martha, Martha, Worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. I hope to share those recordings with you eventually, but God really spoke to me in 2020 about making sure that for my anxiety for you, that I stay focused. And he said, no, you just stay sitting at my feet. Brothers and sisters, that's the message to all of us. You have to resist getting all excited. Someone the other day posted, oh, none of this stuff matters. My life story, testimony, and all that stuff. What a mock to God, by the way, but says, none of this stuff matters. Israel's at war. And I wrote back, I said, wow, I couldn't disagree with you more. Israel's been at war with these Palestinians for, decades and decades. This has been going on. Brothers and sisters, it's always going to go on. Jesus said, there will be wars and rumors of war. See to it, you're not afraid. The end is yet to come. He says, you better be busy doing what he asks you to do when he comes back. Luke 12:42. You better have oil in your lamp. Think of the 10 virgins, 5 foolish, 5 wise. The oil is the grace, the Holy Spirit to actually live the lamp, the word of God. All kinds of people have the lamp, the word. Very few people have the grace. And so a lot of these people, in fact, that you come and see that hate this story, that want to call me the adulterer and all this kind of stuff, and they just don't understand. God bless them. They don't understand. They don't have light. They're religious. They do not know the heart of God. They don't have answered prayers. They can't point you to their YouTube channel where they have thousands of people that have been impacted through a cross-carrying life of Jesus Christ. They cannot point you to testimonies where their family members will say, yes, I saw this guy give up everything for Jesus. He's truly carrying a cross. Yes, this is a real change in his life. They cannot point you to all of the prophetic that God has told them in advance. They can't. All they have is religion. They have the old covenant, the letter which killeth, not the spirit which gives life. Many of them are that way because they're a tear, and some of them are still trapped in ignorance. And let me digress on that point for just a second. So I am absolutely 100% committed. Let me just back up for 1 minute. I want you to see that even as the world is falling apart, brothers and sisters, you can still walk with this living God. You can still experience him in your life, and your life does matter. Your life matters to God more than what's going on in Israel, in spite of what all these charismatic nutcases will tell you, the people that are deceived. No, God cares about you. Jesus said there will be wars and rumors of wars, but see to it you are not afraid. He didn't say, see to it, Israel is on your center stage, or China is on your center stage, or Russia or America. No, he says, you. You need to be in a place where when he comes, you marvel at him and you can stand before him unashamed. Don't give in to all this crazy crap and nonsense that's going on around the world. I don't watch any of it anymore. I literally just touched base just this morning just to see what the latest was with all the alien stuff that's been coming out. But I've been saying for years, because I went to Chuck Missler's conference 25 years ago, where he made it clear this is all a demonic deception. This is the enemy deceiving people, and the whole world is buying it. Remember 2 Thessalonians 2? He sends such a powerful delusion that the entire world buys into it. All right. What is God doing in your life? Keep caring about the desires of your heart. Keep walking in faith, brothers and sisters. Keep obeying. Keep carrying your cross. Don't become like the Thessalonians who thought, oh, Jesus is coming back any minute. Let's just throw away the Bibles. Let's sit on our hands and collect dust and let's not worry about it because nothing matters anymore. Jesus is coming back. No, don't be foolish. I have been telling you guys for years, Jesus Christ is not coming back as fast as you think he is. Brothers and sisters, it has to get so dark. You don't know what darkness is. And I just ask you, emphatically, I ask you, was I right in 2014 about things were going to get so bad? In that video, you know, Peace in the Storm, whatever it was, where it's snowing, was I right? Was I right in 2016 when I say to you from the front porch in India that you have no idea, you haven't seen darkness, you don't have any idea how bad things are going to get? You go listen to that message. The next year, where I said, brothers and sisters, it's going to get worse. You think you've seen school shootings. You think you've seen this. You think you've seen that. The next year, the United States of America has its greatest ever storm season on record. 2017, and the greatest mass shootings in the history of the United States. 2019, the video is not available to be seen right now. It was called The Lord Gives, The Lord Takes Away because it had pee in it. My friends, this what has happened in my marriage is like the climax of everything that I have been warning people about for 7 years in my ministry. If you do not take up your cross and die with Jesus Christ on it, if you don't start learning to deny yourself now, you will never make it. We are living in those days, my friend. You may have peace in your home right now. You may have peace on the evening news tonight, but I'm telling you, it is coming. It is coming. You are going to see worse and worse and worse things. My friend, it has got to get much, much darker in this world before Jesus Christ comes back. I know everybody says, oh, he's coming tomorrow. He's coming next week. Let it be known, I'm the one who, when everybody said he was coming 2 years in a row on September 23rd, I put messages out there and I said, no, he's not. He is not coming back on September 23rd. And I'm going to tell you some bad news, my friend. Jesus Christ is not coming back as soon as you would hope he will. That's what you need to know. It's the same thing that Corrie Ten Boom testified to what she saw happen in China when all these false teachers went over and telling everybody that before the persecution comes, you're going to be raptured out of it. No, you're not. Read your Bible, Matthew 24, and after the terrible times of these days, and after the tribulation, it says it right in there. Read the NASB version of the Bible, Matthew 24. You will see, you and I, if we're living, are going to go through the great tribulation. My friend, in my mind, it's already began to happen. It's already started where people, not literally the 7 years, but a tribulation of God, Hebrews 12, shaking up things so that that which cannot be shaken will remain. But things are heating up out there. And I'm telling you, Christ Jesus is not going to come back as soon as you think he is. Remember, he said he's not going to come back at a time when people think. And here's the bad news. Just like what Corrie Ten Boom said happened in China. These people were told that before the persecution came, that Christ would come and save them out of it. And when Jesus Christ didn't come, guess what happened? They fell away from the faith by the tens of thousands. Probably hundreds of thousands. I don't know the numbers, but I know there was a massive falling away in that church that had so much promise. I know they've recovered. I know there's a story of a great underground church there in China now. But who knows how many fell away because they were told they would be spared. They would be saved out of the tribulation. My friend, I want to tell you something. Jesus is not coming back as soon as you think he is. Mark my words. You are going to have to suffer much more than you ever imagined coming soon. This world is going to get darker and darker and darker and darker. If you think that this is dark, I mean, I'm telling you now, things are going to get much worse. You need to understand what counterfeit Christianity is. You need to understand how well the devil is a schemer and how great his deceptions are. I want you to learn from this story of my wife's own apostasy. I want you to see some of the tricks. Some of you are so deceived that you can't even believe it. Brothers and sisters, we are living in the days of great deception. I have now seen how subtle, how crafty the devil is in details and in ways that I've never known before in all my years of ministry, having watched what the devil did with my wife. But in that, I digress from talking about P falling away to Antichrist. And I go into this again, this very prophetic warning. And a lady says, my gosh, Michael, it sounds like you're talking about like the COVID-19 thing. Brothers and sisters, God has been uttering this prophetic call in me for years. This isn't like I woke up one morning from a dream or went to some prophetic conference. No, this has been in me to warn you guys for years, those of you who have been listening to me. And has what I have said to you come to pass, yes or no? When you got all those charismatics out there saying, oh, the seven mountains, the seven this, and we have to take it back and some great end times revival. Was I right about coronavirus? Yes or no? You go watch the video, Coronavirus versus Sin Virus, and you tell me if I was right when I look you in the eyes and I say, guys, in 6 to 9 months, it's going to go back to the way it was. Not circumstantially. That was not the context of the video. Spiritually. When everybody was standing up like Mike the Pillow Guy and the president, all these people were talking about, and Torben Sundergaard, false teaching prophet, saying, oh man, brothers, it's a great time for revival. Revival's going to come to America. Well, I stood up against all those revivalists and said, no, there is going to be no revival. I ask you, was I right? Yes or no? There has been no revival. And on the contrary, you have the little old lady, 80-something years old, standing in her window, COVID-19, and she says, need more beer. That's what happened with COVID-19. God showed me that COVID-19 was only one part of a wave of his wrath. It's designed to harden the hearts of men who do not love the truth. This is what's going on with COVID-19. It's just yet another 2001, 2008, the credit crisis that shook everybody up, that was a wave of God's judgment. September 11th, another wave of God's judgment. each time we go through something like this, 2020, you know what happens is men harden their hearts against God. It's exactly what happened with Pharaoh. God gave me this insight. And this is exactly what's happening with all these judgments. Men stand up in their own strength. We will get through this. And you see their billboards and you see the spray painted plywoods after all the storms. We will come. We will rise. We will build again. Habakkuk 1:11, they are guilty men whose own strength is their God. They're godless. They care nothing about God. They rebel against God, and their own God is themselves. And so you see, God had showed me these things, brothers and sisters. God had showed me that this is what this whole COVID-19 thing is. And I ask you a question. I mean, I can point you to the recordings where I made it long before we knew what the long-term implications of this were going to be, what the outcome would be, what spiritually the outcome would be. I took a bold stand and I said, no, there is not going to be any revival. Was there any kind of a revival? No. Do you see people all of a sudden getting on their knees and taking God seriously? No. You saw people who were afraid to lose their religion, people who were afraid to lose their church, and there was this false external sense of urgency like, oh man, the government's going to take our church away. Do you remember the videos where I've asked you guys before? Think about this. You want to talk about prophetic? I cannot point you to the message, but there's a message out there where I said to you, what if God comes along and strips you of all of your religion? What if he takes away your church? What if he takes away your fellowship? What if he takes away your worship time? What if he takes away your Wednesday night potluck at the church? What if he takes away your ability to serve through the church and hand out bottled waters and do servolution? What if he takes away and strips you of all that? You know what? He did. And my question was, if God takes away everything that's religious in your life, what is left? I got a friend in California, a very good friend in California, who has a very close friend who, when this happened, her religious world came crashing in because her religion, her roots were in a building, in a program, in people, in the traditions, in the busyness of that activity. There wasn't that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, you can strip me of anything you want. I can have Jesus Christ and go stand on the top of those bale of hays. And if those bale of hay right there is the only thing I have, then that's all I need. Because I have Christ in my heart. I have his word in my heart. Brothers and sisters, do you have it? I didn't mean for this intro to go so long, but apparently the Lord wants me to share with you this, that please continue to keep your eyes focused. Be a Mary and sit at the feet of Jesus for his will for your life. And if that's for you to have a marriage, if that's for you to have a good job, if that's for you to, you know, lose something, if that's for you to take up your cross in a situation, in a relationship, if that's for you to whatever it is, find and do God's will. Don't allow aliens. Don't allow COVID-19. Don't allow financial rumors. Don't allow all the world and its problems to distract you away. That lady, when she said, this doesn't matter, she couldn't be more wrong. And I rebuked her sharply. You will stand before Jesus Christ and give an account of how you lived your life for him, not according to what was going on in the world in the news. You can't be like the Thessalonians. They started to get lazy on this. We cannot. You have to continue to live. And look at what God's doing. He's blessing my life. He's blessed my heart. I have more of Jesus Christ in my heart and more of his fullness than I've ever had. But the world's falling apart around me, and I don't care. I'm less interested in it now than ever. I'm still just trying to do exactly what God's asked me to do, because that's the way I can bless people. That's the way I can encourage you to keep going, to keep striving for his will, to keep waiting on him, to keep believing his promises, to keep faithful, to keep obedient, to keep carrying your cross all the way to the end. Faithful even to the point of death. And then I will give you the crown of life, Jesus Christ said. This is important. Somebody needs to hear this message. Do not lose your personal walk. Do not lose sight of God's personal will for you. And do not think that God doesn't have a will for you all the way up until you see the 100-pound hailstones coming out of the sky. I believe if I'm on this earth, that God has a plan and a purpose and a guidance for me all the way to the end. Don't get lost in what the world's getting lost in. Don't be afraid. Remember, I think it's Isaiah 8:12. Do not call conspiracy what these people call conspiracy. Do not fear what they fear. The Lord your God is the one you are to fear. He is the one you are to set apart as holy. Go look it up, Isaiah 8:12. We are to fear God. And you know, look at what God is doing. He's blessing me so much. Brothers and sisters, I find out something new about this whole thing with my wife every day. It doesn't seem fair. It doesn't seem like I should be so blessed like I am. I'm so blessed. And you know something? I hate it. My heart aches for these religious people that come that don't know God. These people that continue to mock, oh, he's just a false teacher, he's just this. Guys, I've been hearing this for years. There's nothing new anybody can say to me, but it still bothers me because I hate it that people are blind, that they don't see the heart of God, that they don't see what a five-year-old can see when you read Matthew 19:9, or when you read 1 Corinthians 7:15, or when you read the whole Bible and you see the heart of God for his people, that he doesn't punish those who do right. That just burns me up. And I'm so thankful that God has raised me up to help encourage some of you to get out of the bondage of the lie. You know something? When you believe a lie, you're captive to Satan. And when you are captive to Satan, you cannot please God. Romans 14 says, and I say this to you, do not divorce, do not remarry, do not marry, do not do anything that you cannot do by faith. Bible says you must be convinced in your own mind. And if for something seems impure to you, for you it's impure. And that anything not done by faith is sin. So be very careful, but also be very careful to actually ask the Lord about whatever your situation is. And obviously, I'm speaking primarily now to those of you who are struggling with this whole divorce remarriage thing and cannot yet see the heart of God because you have so much noise and so much filth. I want to ask you a question. Is there any of these godless, legalistic Ishmaels that come to the channel? Do you honestly believe they can point us to their YouTube channel with as much prophetic, as much answered prayers, as much fruitfulness, as much impact? That I'm just being what Paul was right now when he says, I'm not speaking as the Lord, I'm speaking as a fool, and no one will stop this boasting of mine in order that I may pull the ground out from underneath of those who wish to be considered equal. I would say this to any of these quacks that come, throwing a scripture here, throwing a scripture here. I would say, where's the evidence of God in your life? Where's your personal relationship? Do you know this God? You seem to know the Bible. Do you know the God of the Bible? Or are you a Pharisee? Brothers and sisters, don't allow the Pharisees to keep you from having the liberty that God offers you through love to understand who he is. I am not for divorce. I want you to understand something. I am totally not for divorce, but it is a reality when you have it takes two people to make a marriage, only one to end it. And we're in the end times where many, many people are being led astray. Now, how somebody can come along and say, My wife was physically abused to the point of feeling that she was going to lose her life. And how dare somebody come along and think that God would say to her, you need to stay in that situation. That you're yoked to the child of the devil until you get out of here. It breaks my heart for so many ignorant people who believe this crap. Shame on you. You guys are going to stand before God and you're going to be judged worse, just like the Pharisees. Jesus looked at the Pharisees and said, you children of the devil. And he says, how can you who are evil say anything good? How will you ever escape hell? Because you have completely marred the image and heart of who God is. You completely stomp and crap on the image of who God is. You should be ashamed of yourself, you miserable human being, you. And I challenge all of you to repent from this nonsense. And those of you right now, I'm speaking this, and this is the last word I'm ever going to speak to you, and I'm shutting you down. There's going to be no more comments on any of these videos. I'm shutting you off. You bring the filth of Satan and try to smear it on God's work and smear it on God's love and smear it on God's redemption. Well, your days in my ministry are over. Your mouths are shut. But because I'm so stubborn, I want to ask you this question. Can you send me an email? Can you send me an email and point me to your YouTube channel where you've poured your life out transparently for the walking on of tens of thousands and the stomping on of a few hundred? Can you point me to the fruitfulness of Jesus Christ that Jesus said you have to have in John 15 or you're not a true believer and God will cut you off? Can you point it to me? Can you point me to the people who will testify in your life that you're a true believer of Christ, that you're a cross-carrying, self-denying, world-hating, life-losing Christian? That you actually live what you preach, that you're not living in some known sin in the closet behind? Can you point that to me? Can you point me to this? You Pharisee, you Ishmael, you godless heathen, you child of the devil, can you point that to me? Send it to me. Send me your evidence. You send me those of you who call me an adulterer and all that. You send me the evidence of God in your life, and you show me more evidence of God in your life and more answered prayers, and I will tell you what, I will bow down and kiss your feet. And until then, I'm going to act just like Paul, not like the Lord. And I will not stop this boasting of mine in order to cut the false ground out from underneath of your feet. Those of you who wish you want to come and condemn and judge. And listen, the reason why I'm so angry at you, I'm not worried about it for me. You haven't seen one comment in all 10, 12 years I've been doing this that stopped me from doing God's mission. How arrogant for you to think you are. But the reason why I'm so angry at you is because there's people that come right behind you that don't know the Lord as well as perhaps somebody like myself does, who you cause to stumble. And it's like what Jesus Christ said. They travel over land and sea, the Pharisees, to make a convert. And when they do, they make them twice as much of a son of hell as they are. Those are the words of Jesus Christ. And some of you are doing that exact thing. And you believe, just like Jesus said, the time will come when men who do these things to you will think they're doing a service to God. You guys think you're doing a service to God. Where is the evidence of God in your life? You hypocrite. You legalistic, you blind as a bat fool. And yes, I call you a fool. And for those of you who have any light, I challenge you to repent if you're humbled on this. You bring me your evidence. Don't smear your poop filth in all your comments. I ask you a question. Who do you think you are? We don't know who you are. We don't know how you live your life. Where's your YouTube channel with you putting out all of your sins, all of your weaknesses, all of your answered prayers, all the fruitfulness? Where is it at? We don't know who you are. Why do you have a right to come and say, as somebody no more than one of the 10 billion YouTube avatars out there, and you suddenly think that you have a right to come speak into somebody's life because you know a Bible verse that you've twisted to hell and back? You should be ashamed of your miserable selves. You know something? I'm going to finish this. We're going to finish this. This is the last time I'm going to say this. You know something? You are blind, you are envious, and you are jealous. Tell the truth. Tell the truth. You wish you knew God like this. You wish you had the joy of Jesus Christ in your heart. You wish you had a God who was real, who was involved in your life, who gave you guidance, who answered your prayers. You know, if you looked at a life like myself or Jared and Kristen Tabai and you see how active God is in our life, no wonder you're envious and jealous, because you don't even know the God of whom you take his words and slice and dice like a knife other people with. You don't know him. You never have known him. And unless you repent, enabled by the grace of God, you will never know him. Some of you are hearing my voice right now, and you know that you're wrong. You know that you're angry. You know that you've held on to unforgiveness. You know that you've bought into a religious spirit. You know that you've been injured. You know that God has let you, quote, down in some way. And yet you haven't been courageous enough to let go of the religion, so you become a Pharisee, a legalist. I challenge you to drop your stones and get on your knees and cry out to the living God to ask for forgiveness. There is no sin that cannot be forgiven. All sins and blasphemies will be forgiven, men, except the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. This is Jesus Christ. And you know something? A lot of you have blasphemed the Holy Spirit. When you come along and you say that the spirit at work in me is Satan, you're blaspheming the Holy Spirit and you don't even realize it. And Jesus Christ says, John 9:39, for judgment I came into this world, so that those who are blind shall see, and those who think they can see will become blind. Many of you don't even realize you have blasphemed the Holy Spirit. Because you think you can see and you're blind as a bat. You can't see. You recognize a tree by its fruit. Wisdom is proved right by her actions. To go look at a life like this for 12 years of evidence that's been put out, prayer after prayer, miracle after miracle, provision after provision, blessing after blessing, prophetic utterance after prophetic utterance, and you want to come along all of a sudden and smear your filthy judgment on it. I say shame on you. These are my final words to you. You're not going to hear anything from me. And brothers and sisters, those of you who this does not apply to, I want to give you some great news. There's no subject more contentious to this subject of divorce and remarriage. There's not a single subject on the entire internet in the name of Christendom that is more contentious, more misunderstood, more fought over, more accused of, more judged than this, that puts more people in bondage, puts more people in, you know, condemnation than this subject. That's why I've been so outspoken on this subject. That's why a few of my videos have been watched hundreds of thousands of times. In fact, one of them, I think, Why God Allows Marriages to Fail, has been watched like 600 and something thousand times. That shows you how big this subject is. I don't even have advertising on my YouTube. I shouldn't have any videos that have been watched 600,000 times. YouTube doesn't do anything to promote my videos anymore. It's a huge subject. And it breaks the hearts and lives and spiritual necks of so many of God's people. And I think that sometimes God will raise up somebody who's courageous. You know something, brothers and sisters, those of you who have ears to hear, you are going to be so blessed when you hear this. Trust me when I tell you, I'm not overhyping it. You're going to see that God put his hand on this. You're going to see the thumbprint of God. You're going to see that, yes, God has walked me into this. And he is going to shut the mouths of all these foolish, blind people who've come and said this. And so here's the point. I'm not going to say anything more about this. I'm done talking about it. And my wife and I have talked about it. And we both came into agreement mutually from apart from one another after prayer that I'm not going to have comments anymore on videos, including this one. You'll see the comments have been disabled. And the reason is you've heard that saying, it only takes one apple to spoil the bunch. Now, this is the insight that the Lord gave me when I was in prayer. I spent about 20 minutes in prayer. Father, is it wise? I mean, I don't want to disconnect my brothers and sisters, but truly a lot of you who know the story and you've been following for years, brothers and sisters, you've shown me so much honor and so much appreciation for the works and for the words of Christ in my heart all these years. I appreciate you so much. But I also want you to know that your compliments, they kind of, you say the same things over and over again, which is wonderful. I'm glad you're still around after all these years, but I don't really need to hear that. I really left the comments for you guys to be able to kind of exchange. And sometimes there's somebody who has a prayer request and you guys can kind of talk it out and help one another, etc. But brothers and sisters, when somebody comes by and puts all this smear fest and basically takes feces and smears it all over it, it only takes one of those to unwind 25 brothers. This is amazing. Brother, I'm so encouraged. Brother, I needed to hear this message. Oh, brother, it only takes one child of Satan or one very deceived, ignorant Christian to show up and smear filth on it. And I said to you guys, I am not going to allow any filth on this testimony. And you know something? I told Jared about it and Jared said, brother, that's right. He said, the dogs must remain outside. Because initially I put this comment up about the dogs and the pigs that Jesus Christ warns about in Matthew 7:6. So I'm not going to give these dogs and pigs a chance to trample this testimony and then turn and tear me or you to pieces. I'm not going to allow it because I see also you guys get into an argument. And some of you who know the truth and you've been following the ministry for years and you know my heart and you know that God is with me, I see you guys getting involved to try to defend. And I don't even want you to have to do it. I don't want you to have to touch that filth. The Bible says in Philippians 4, finally, brothers, whatever is lovely, whatever is excellent, whatever is good, whatever is righteous, whatever is praiseworthy, think on these things. So I'm going to not have any more comments on this series. And I know that that'll disappoint some of you because you like to express. However, you have a contact button at the relentlessheart.com page. I encourage you to use it. Use that button to contact me. And watch this. The good news is you're not going to have to hear me if you haven't been offended yet. You're not going to have to hear me talk like this anymore. I got it all out. I've been wanting to say these kind of things for years. There are a lot of people, brothers and sisters, that are just really ignorant of the ways of God, and they cannot do it. And they can come and bring their big fancy words, and they can come and bring their big fancy arguments, but they don't have any living reality back of their words. They don't have any living reality of God. All they have is a book with dead words in it. They don't have any spirit. They don't have any life in it. They have a false Christianity. They have a false relationship with God. They have a relationship with Christianity, not with the Christ of Christianity. You understand? Anybody can quote scripture out of that book. The Pharisees were better at it than anybody. Very few people will have a living, breathing, vibrant, interactive, real personal relationship with God by walking with the Spirit. Romans 8:14, Galatians 5:25. Unless you're walking by the Spirit, unless you're being led by the Spirit, the Bible says you're not even a child of God. Very important. And these people are not being led by the Spirit. They're being led by a Spirit, but not the Spirit. Okay. Now, house is cleaned. Are you still with me? Let's move forward because you're going to be so blessed by this story. It's going to take a lot of work because I'm going to take out some of the personal stuff along the way. I'm really going to probably try to stick a little bit more with some of the facts because there's been so many factual things that have happened where God moves in dates and times and providences and just amazing things that you'll see. He's working it all out. But we're going to go backwards to go forwards. So I'm going to take you in this message you're going to hear. We're going to go all the way back to 2 years ago when I first put the tiny house up for sale because God was telling me to move to New Zealand. And at this time, P was still with me, my now ex-wife. She was still with me and we were going to go, at least I thought. And you're going to now see a recording in here that follows 1 day after, 2 days after I make the video, 1 day after I put the tiny house up for sale using pictures on a tiny house website, 1 day after. Wait until you hear what P says to me regarding New Zealand. So some of you have asked, yeah, didn't you feel like you were led to go to New Zealand? Yes. And so here it is, 2 years later, God still wants me in New Zealand. And since my then, quote, wife, who went apostate by this time, wouldn't go with me, well, he guaranteed that somebody was going to go with me this time, so he gave me a wife already in New Zealand. How incredible! How incredible! We're going to now talk about what's next. I may even include the very first recording I ever made for my, having no idea she would be, my wife all the way back in 2016. I may even share that or part of that in an upcoming episode. You guys know that she then followed the ministry after I gave her that recording. She was going through a very, very abusive situation where there had been infidelity and physical abuse. Horrible. I mean, horrible. I'm not going to get into any details. That's her story to one day. She definitely has a passion to one day share and help other women who've gone through abuse situations and been neglected like this to help. So God has fully healed her, fully redeemed this. And I will expect that one day in God's timing, you'll see her begin to minister to some of you sisters out of the pain and out of the hope, out of the redemption and the deliverance that she got. So it's an incredible, credible story of what she went through. But she followed the ministry for 5 years. You guys know that. And basically then she emails me. Then we're going to start to go forward. She emails me, having not heard from her for years. In fact, she had actually sent a donation one time that I basically didn't even know it was her. And I didn't know who she was. This is not something like I knew who she was. She was just one of any number of thousands of people that have contacted me. So she had sent me a donation, you know, that I hadn't known about, and maybe one or two more emails, but she emails me when the ministry goes down, and that is when I take note. That's where I thought that I had heard wrong about this 2/12 and 2/11 date with P, and it turns out God had done this miraculous kind of raising up of the visa, vindicated me that he had given me a date, showed me I had not been wrong. I was simply wrong thinking that that meant she was coming back. But clearly God did this to show her that he still is the living God. Yes, he does give dates if he wants to. Yes, he is powerful and all Almighty, and even still she rejected it. So anyhow, as a result of me thinking I was wrong about those dates, I shut everything down in the ministry out of integrity. And I had said that if I have not heard God correctly in this, because this would have been the first time, it's all over for me. Done. I'm out. And I'm going to set the ministry down. And she emails me the most powerful email I had received from virtually anyone. It was so touching. And that is what caused me to take notice of her in that way. Now, not in that way of a potential wife at all. In fact, she has a pretty neat testimony that she just told me last night. I'll go ahead and share this with you now. There is a Skype call that's going to happen on April 13th, 2021. You'll hear about this, that I don't even remember right off the top of my head why I agreed to do this for her subject-wise, other than the fact that she struggles to text her thoughts very well. She's very much like my son. She's not super great at putting her thoughts in text. It takes her a long time, and she searches for the right word. And she was asking me a bunch of questions, and I noticed there was a long delay and stuff like this. And so I decided to offer her, listen, if you want, we could do a Skype call or a recording or something like that, and I can, you know, address this and talk to you more about it. And I think something had happened where I told her that I really trusted her because of how she responded to me, the ministry going down. It showed me that this was a woman of true faith, and I really trusted her. And so she told me this story actually just yesterday, how she took note of the fact that when she first found me on Skype, which she was reluctant to do, and I was reluctant to do because I don't do that. The last Skype call I did was with Elvin and Shalini Mani in New Zealand, of all places. And previous to that, it might have been 5 or 6 years earlier. I just do not do this. So God moved me to do this Skype call with her. And when I went on to Skype, I noticed that my profile pic was so old, it still had just me on it. So that means before P. That shows you how long it had been since I'd done a Skype call. So it just had my little profile pic on it, and I intentionally, before I did this Skype call with her, I changed it to a picture of me and P. Even though she was not with me, I was still believing for her. So it's really neat how my wife told me last night that she noticed that. She noticed that I was putting up borders. I have always done this, brothers and sisters. I've always made it very clear. This is not an open door in my life. I'm not interested in another wife. So I went out of my way to make that happen, having no idea it wasn't going to matter. We had a completely platonic phone call, and something very extraordinary happens at the end, which I will let you know when we get to that recording you can hear. So that from that point forward, we'll move forward with what's been happening. And I think that's about it. I'm going to now turn you over to this. This has been very long. Thank you for your patience to listen to it. Brothers and sisters, may God bless you guys as you listen. May God bless you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to really believe him and to learn from this. Watch how powerful our God is. You're going to see some power in this. This is not just like a nice romance story. God doesn't do anything in my life that doesn't have power. I mean powerful. You're going to wait until you get to what I found out that God did in the timing of this, that is going to leave all the haters very, very humiliated. You're going to be amazed. You are going to be amazed. So let's get into it. Enjoy the series. I'm going to pump it out just as quick as I can. May God bless you all and keep you in Jesus' name. I love you from the deepest part of my heart in Christ. Thank you so much. Don't forget, if you have a question or you really want to share something with me about the story, you can always still email me and use the contact form at Relentless Heart. Okay? God bless you guys. See you soon. Hi, my name is Michael Criswell. Thank you so much for coming by to take a tour of my not-so-tiny, tiny house that happens to be now for sale. But why isn't this going to be our home? I will tell you, it was a very big surprise to me as we got nearer and nearer to the finish of this home to find out and discover that the Lord was leading me to move out of the country, perhaps a place you've seen in the movies before, a country called New Zealand. I just spent 12 minutes basically yelling into my microphone, ranting about what has happened to me today, and I'm going to make another shot at just trying to be calm about it. It's March 5th, 2019, 6:25 p.m. The tensions have continued with Persis and I, and ever since I started mentioning New Zealand, Persis started becoming nervous and things have started to happen. And then today I've sat down with my wife and had a conversation for 3 hours and where she said that she doesn't know if she's going to go with me to New Zealand or not. She may be being called to go in a different direction. So she has made for herself this her own truth and her own understanding and her own insight and her own knowledge. These are her God. This is her thing. And, you know, my wife is being used to afflict me right now. And I'm seeing 616s and I'm seeing 611s and I'm seeing 929s. It's all about faith, taking up your shield of faith, you know, being an overcomer. And I have stumbled tonight. I have gotten angry. I told her, I said, my goodness, yesterday I was having to grieve the loss of a wife telling me who today I'm hearing that I'm going to basically lose my wife. That at any moment she could get the call. And I said, my goodness, what is this? Where does this leave us? Like, I don't even know how to live with you anymore. Like, I don't even know what are the boundaries? What are the rules? Oh, but you know, we can't have titles. See, the problem with title is if I had a title of wife, then I could say to you, you can't sell the tiny house. I'm your wife. You can't go to New Zealand. I'm your wife. You can't do this. She goes, and have I ever done that? And I said, no. She thinks that it's the title that gives emphasis to control one another. And she said, see, I don't try to control you. And I said, you know what? I respect you for that. You did in the past, but you don't anymore. And I respect you for that. I've been trying to be respectful to her and listen. I've been holding it loosely and saying, if you know you need to go, I'll let you go. But tonight, I couldn't go in the house with her. I said, I need to go somewhere, and I'm going to have to go now tonight and grieve the loss of my wife. And she said, well, maybe that's because you haven't been holding it loosely.
And I just thought, what? And, you know, it's, I think the thing that has hurt me so much is to see her put on this, like, I don't know if it's called stoicism or what, but where she, I said, you're almost feeling like you're treating this like a business transaction. Like, it's, she's changed so much. She's not the woman I used to marry, that I married. So my heart tonight, I said, you know, I just don't even know how to respond to this. I don't even know what to do. Like, do I step in? Do I step away? Do I go to the left? Do I go to the right? Meaning, I don't even know, like, can I even kiss my wife anymore? Dude, what are you to me right now? It feels so, like, transactional. And it feels like, you know, yesterday we were husband and wife. And I said, you know, what do you make of Damadi, Kilama, kissy, kissy, huggy, huggy to me? And today I'm finding out I'm basically on the verge of any day being able to lose my marriage. Help me reconcile this. And yet her explanations sound so convincing that, you know, Jesus even taught, if a man comes to me and he has to hate us and all this, and you have to hold these things loosely, and, you know, God sometimes has purposes for you that don't include you being able to bring somebody else, and I may be in the way, or, you know, you may be in the way or whatever, and he may have to move us around. And so she said, you know, I loved you, but I was not basically committed to this the way you were, committed to the institution. She said, I'm committed to whatever I'm led to do. And when I get my next calling, I'll do that. And she said, you know, this was a part of my, you know, training, perhaps, and basically, and that, you know, I got to be on the inside. Now she's starting to sound like some kind of a spiritual spy. And she said, you know, I got to come and live here in America and see what their Christianity was like, and with you, and, you know, to see what, you know, and you and I believe in very different Christianity, and, you know, all this. And she said, but I got to learn. And I said, this is, and she said, and, you know, if I married a Muslim, I would have infiltrated and learned and understood, and I'd have the inside scoop. And I said, this is absolutely crazy what you're saying. I said, so what you're saying is that you should leave the marriage and go marry a Muslim guy or a Buddhist guy or a whatever, so you can get the inside scoop on. I mean, do you realize how insane what you're saying sounds? She doesn't. And I have to be very careful, because she believes she is enlightened, that I am not, and that I'm making judgments over everything she does. And the reality is that the spiritual man does make judgment over all things. I am losing my wife to the devil's tricks, but I know God has allowed all of this, and I know that God must be working Romans 8:28. I just don't yet know what Father, how he wants me to respond in this. I really don't know. I'm at a place where I feel like I would be better off if she left, and then there's another part of me that goes, no, I'm better off if she stays and she converts to true Christianity. And I have to say, this is the greatest faith challenge of my life right now. To look at this woman who's so utterly convinced in her own mind, and who I've already shared all of my bullets basically of scripture with, who continues to hold steadfast to that her way is the right way. And I look at that and I go, I almost have no hope, no hope that this could ever change. That reality is maybe God does want to just send us off separate. And I told her today, I said, you know, persons who I'm pretty sure I might be done. I mean, I said, God can do whatever he wants. I said, but who in their right mind is going to listen to a guy who's been divorced twice? I said, this is the death blow. For you, it's not, because you're living this, you know, different life. But for me, this is like a death blow. Who would ever want to listen to a divorced guy twice? I mean, how could I ever even begin to explain to people after all that God did to bring this together that it just went away? I mean, I can't explain it. I mean, I'm at a place where I told the Lord today in prayer, I said, Father, if you want us to separate and I have to go through a divorce again, and if you want this to happen, God, I will allow it to happen because it's your will. And I said, Father, if you never want me to be heard ever again, if you never want me to speak another word in ministry again, if you want me to do nothing but just walk and pick up shells on the New Zealand beach and say praise the Lord for everyone I pick up and never talk to another human being, so be it. If you want to pull all away of my usefulness, so be it. If you want to let the ministry be nothing more than videos, an echo of my voice out there for those who will listen and I disappear and never make myself known ever again, so be it. I'm willing to do that. I am. I'm willing to lose my wife. I'm willing to keep my wife. I think the painful part right now is the fear of the unknown and the uncertainty. I told her, I said, you know, love is vulnerable. I don't even know, like, what am I supposed to do? Throw myself at her, you know, and you know, can I continue to be with her the way I've normally been with her? I mean, I don't even know. It's like, well, who are you now? Are you coming or are you going? And I mean, who wants to put themselves out there and be more and more vulnerable and then knowing that the day is coming when you're just going to get your heart stomped? I don't know. I'm honestly, as a man of God, filled with the Spirit of God, the Lord right now is allowing me to walk in darkness. He's not giving me light. All I'm seeing are scriptures about faith. And I'm going to have to really read up and study and believe, because right now my faith in this is dwindling. My faith, a man of faith, I've believed God for so much. My faith for Persis is dwindling. It's a mustard seed. I have to cry out to God, oh God, help me in my unbelief. I mean, I believe all things are possible to him who believes. But for some reason, this one is stretching my faith beyond what I could ever imagine to see with the conviction that this woman speaks. To think of her and this situation changing, oh my goodness gracious. I don't know what's happened, but I've been convinced by the lies to back away from faith. But I'm going to sit down now. I'm going to try to exercise my faith. I'm asking God for help. But right now I'm just so filled with emotion and confusion. I feel very uncertain. I mean, my goodness, there couldn't be more pressure on my situation right now. Everything is shaken. Everything is shaken. I have no news about going to New Zealand. I have just put the tiny house up for sale yesterday for the first time. I have no idea of how long I'll have to stay living with my parents. I have no idea really how we're going to get to New Zealand or if we are even going. I now have no idea if I'm even going to have a marriage partner to go with me. I mean, this is just, oh man. I knew when I saw Acts 9:16 this morning, I needed to camp out on it. I needed to know that it was God speaking a word to me. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name, and I want to suffer well. My heart is hurting. I thank God that I know that the Father sees I'm trying. I know that the Father sees I'm not a failure because I've been upset today. Or because I've been, you know, frustrated about this or feeling pain about this. I know he's not disappointed in me. He's correcting me. He's conforming me. He's working in me. I love my wife. I have natural affection for her. I have spiritual affection for her. I have a desire for spiritual unity with her. I don't want to lose my wife. And I'm watching her slip away and it hurts. It hurts. And I have to be willing to, just as I said this morning in the recording, let all the string out and let her run. And I'm at this point where I just don't even know. This is a serious test for my faith. I can feel it. This isn't one of those things where, oh man, I'm going to get through this. No, this is tough. This is tough. Only God can get me through this. Only God can keep me. I'm going to shut my mouth now to this recording and I'm going to pray to the Lord.